Welcome to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm Eddie Garcia. Today on the show, the heavy and heady hard rock of Irada. They have a new album called Sweet Loris coming out next week. They're also about to hit the road with the band Kylesa. Members Cheryl Manor, Jason Ward, and John Case brought their instruments and amps to WFDD Studios for a loud and live performance. We talk record labels, riff writing, music scenes, and music labeling throughout the show. Then it's the music and movement of Godai. The collaborative work between choreographer Sarah Baird and violinist Meg Mulhern debuts this weekend at Sika. It's a mythological tale for the modern age, and we get an inside look. It's an hour of music and dance in the passionate pursuit of art when Triad Arts Weekend continues after this news. This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm Eddie Garcia. Later on today's show, I'll talk with Sarah Baird and Meg Mulhern. The choreographer and composer have collaborated on a project called Godai. It premieres Saturday night at Sika as part of Point and Counterpoint, a celebration of 18 artists who won North Carolina Arts Council Awards this year. But first, I'm happy to say we're returning to Studio A. The Triad Arts team plans on bringing you all kinds of music performed live at WFDD Studios. My guests today are Cheryl Manor, Jason Ward, and John Case. They make up the band Irada, and I should tell you, it's going to get wonderfully loud. All right, so I'm here with Irada. They came in to christen our new live in Studio A sessions. Thank you very much for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
And definitely one of our first evening sessions here at WFDD. So Irada, you've been together since around 2007, but gone through a number of changes.
Yes.
Most importantly, in 2010, Cheryl, when you joined. Mm-hmm. Before that, you had a different member. You had a saxophone player, do more of kind of a post-rock kind of ambient things. What brought the switch to like a heavier form of music?
I think the intention originally was to get heavier, right? I mean, I think two out of three of the original members liked heavier music and wanted to. And then when that third member quit the band, it was an opportunity for us to head that direction, you know, and that's when we went from instrumental to doing vocals. We taught ourselves how to sing and...
So you hadn't sung in bands before or anything?
No. Never. Mm-mm.
And then, so you guys started that, and then how'd you meet Cheryl?
We don't recommend this, but it was through Craigslist.
I had pretty much exhausted every other avenue, right?
Yeah.
I had been looking for bands, and I'd run into so many instances where I'd show up to an audition, and then I'd get a call back saying, you know, thanks, but we really don't want a girl in the band. So, you know, I put out I'm a girl. And wow. I'm looking for a band, and they responded, and they gave me a list of some of the bands they liked, and I gave them a list of some of the bands I liked, and we didn't have any in common, and we just decided to meet anyway.
Yeah, well, their loss and Irada's gain, because Cheryl's an absolute shredder on the guitar.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's agreed. A bonus. I think originally we were just looking for a girl.
Not even a guitar player.
Yeah.
That's why you're on Craigslist. I get it.
That's right.
Yeah, that's correct.
We'll be right back. Okay, so you're based out of Greensboro. How has Greensboro supported your development or not?
We've actually sought out playing out of town because we get a better response from out of town. And I don't think that's specific to us or our genre. I think that's kind of like for every band. Like if you whatever town you're from, people aren't going to be as excited as people from somewhere else are going to be as excited about your band because you're like the out of town band. But there are a handful of places to play in Greensboro, and you know, you just have to know what types of people are going to go out and see the show so that you know what types of people to market to and, you know, let know that you're going to play. We've had some really good shows in Greensboro, and we've had some not so good shows in Greensboro. And I mean, as much as we want to say like, okay, so maybe playing in Greensboro isn't great, I think we just have more experience with playing in Greensboro than anywhere else because we played more shows there.
You weren't a label out of Greensboro for a while, right? Crimson Eye Records?
Crimson Eye is out of Greensboro. They released a split with us and Solar Halos.
All right, so now the new record, which is coming out October 9th, Sweet Loris. Are you on a new label for that record?
We are.
All right, so tell me about that.
That's a Retro Futurist Records out of Savannah, Georgia, and it's owned by the members of Kylesa, which is really, really cool. They started a label a couple years ago, and a couple good bands on that label. Laser Wolf, Caustic Casanova, Burnt Books, Wet Socks.
So it's run by Kylesa. You're about to go on tour with Kylesa. They're a known entity. they're a really good band. They're one of those metal bands that seem to like cross over, like a Baroness, or they have a little bit of something for everyone. Maybe if metal isn't your go-to form of music, they have these entry points. And I think you guys have that too.
Cool.
It seems like a good fit.
Yeah, very good fit.
We hope so.
Our first EP was produced by Philip Cope, a member of Kylesa. From that experience, we just kind of hit it off. I think, you know, Philip liked our band. Laura, who's also in Kylesa, guitar player, she heard it as well. And after we did the first EP, they came out to some shows. Laura actually saw us in Greensboro and we played with Torch. She was at that show, so that was cool. So, yeah, we just kind of hit it off. He also produced Semyase that we recorded with Crimson Eye, and he produced the new album coming up. So it's been a good fit.
You're listening to Try It Arts Weekend. I'm Eddie Garcia in Studio A with the band Irada. We have to take a short break, but when we return, more live music and honest talk with Cheryl Manor, Jason Ward, and John Case when Try It Arts Weekend continues. Welcome back to Try It Arts Weekend. I'm Eddie Garcia. We're live and loud in WFDD's Studio A today with the band Irada. A little later in the show, we'll power down the amps and head to Sika, where Sarah Baird and Meg Mulhern are premiering their collaborative dance and music piece, Godai. So when you get together to write an album and record an album, how does that work? Are you doing it all beforehand? Are you just like working the songs to death and then you go to the studio? Or
we try to be as prepared as possible. Mm-hmm. What that resulted in this time is we had most everything written before we went in. We had some lyrics to finish up while we were recording, and it was a 2-week-long process. So you got plenty of time to think about things and to rework and redo. But for the most part, it's pretty complete when we get in there.
So many of your songs have these sharp changes but make sense with so many riffs. Cheryl, are you sitting around writing a grab bag of riffs and then you kind of just like pull them and see what pieces together? Or does it kind of, how does the songwriting process work when you're all in the room together?
Well, for this album, it was a lot of John and I, I'd say still mostly John in that area. But there were a lot of times where, you know, one of us would come in and say, hey, I've got this, and we'd start playing it. And, you know, some of the songs really wrote themselves pretty quickly. And I think that was really exciting. And then some of them, you know, we'd start to write and we'd put changes to, and we'd play it and then decide we hated it and throw it out. And so, yeah, we do work with a lot of different riffs and try different ones, you know, throughout the process to see what works together.
So John, as the bassist and being the primary songwriter, it's somewhat unique, or it seems that way to me. When you're putting the songs together, are you just kind of hearing in your head what guitars or other parts might do? Or, you know, do you do like recording at home where you're kind of throwing guitar parts on top of your bass parts?
A little bit of recording, but mostly it's just riffing around and coming up with riffs and figuring out if they fit together. And then typically it's Jason and I work out the drums and bass parts. There's a lot of attention to dynamics. Lyrics and vocals are usually an afterthought. We write all the music and then we really pay attention to, we'll scat out lyrics or hum lyrics to find a good sounding melody or a good vocal line that kind of has a hook. And then we go from there. But typically it starts with, I guess, bass lines. But Cheryl and Jason write their parts after that. I don't write any of the guitar parts or drum parts or anything like that.
But we do give each other a lot of feedback, you know, and we'll get together and say, hey, like, oh, I'm hearing this. Can you do this? And we've gotten a lot better over the years at communicating what the this is, you know.
Well, you must have been together as long as you have. That says something. You must be at least decent communicators. Otherwise, you would have split up a couple years ago, probably.
Yeah.
So good on you.
Yeah.
Look at me. look at me in the eye, and the curtains begin to fall. The waves of the sun, we rise. I'm in denial, I'm in denial, I'm in denial.
As you went in to record the record, you did have a couple of setbacks. Is that correct?
Yeah, there is one setback. I actually broke my collarbone in November last year. That kind of never healed. So we had recording sessions set up in January. Yeah, I had to record with a broken collarbone.
And also, we were still writing. We were still trying to write.
Yeah. We made it work.
A lot of postponements.
Recording drums with a broken collarbone, that's probably not doctor recommended, right?
Probably not, no. In fact, I think that's probably why it didn't heal. We played a couple shows, and I didn't lay off practicing. I was working off the theory, if it doesn't hurt, you know, keep doing it. So it didn't really hurt during that period, but it kept getting worse and worse. But finally, I had it operated on after we recorded, and I got a nice steel plate in my collarbone now.
Oh, wow.
And
that's very metal of you.
I know, right?
Metal these days, metal has a lot of subgenres. There seem to be more and more prefixes all the time. It's like a two-pronged question. Where do you see that you fit in the metal spectrum? And what do you think about the collisions of all the genres that are happening in the heavy metal scene these days?
I really don't consider Irata a metal band. Honestly, I don't really listen to metal, but I know that Cheryl does. She's a huge fan. So I don't really write songs, I guess, from that perspective, like, write a good metal riff or anything. I just write stuff that sounds good to my ear. And then when Cheryl comes in and writes her parts over, and because she's a fan of metal, it might have that kind of dynamic to it. And that's, I guess, what kind of gives it that metal sound.
Right.
Or what some people think is a metal.
What's the drive and the dynamism? Mm-hmm. I think that might be why some people would say that.
Yep.
You know,
I kind of expand on what John said. I don't consider ourselves a metal band either. Not good or bad. I just don't see it. I see it as more of a heavy rock kind of band with some metal flair to it. We like to get, you know, soft and pretty and open in places. We like to get heavy. And that's kind of where I see it. As far as the genres of metal, holy. There's too many. Call it whatever you want. We don't care. We're just trying to write some good songs.
You know, I've had several friends come to see us play, and they will refer to us as a metal band. They'll be like, oh, here's Cheryl. She plays in a metal band. So there's that, even after having heard us. You know, it's really funny that there are so many subgenres of metal, because you kind of need them. Because, I mean, for me, who actually listens to it, and I talk to people who listen to it a lot, and you go, okay, yeah, there's this metal band. Okay, what kind of metal? Because there are so many different kinds. And unfortunately, I think for us, we wind up playing with, you know, just very like grunge rock, stoner rock. It's sort of like the same genres of bands all the time. Not that they're bad, but we don't get to hear a whole lot of different types of music because we wind up playing with the same types of bands.
That's something to change it there. Show bookers, festival makers, let's intermingle genres a little more.
Yeah.
With shows.
I mean, it'd be fun because, you know,
we all listen to different things.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes somebody would come to see a band that might not necessarily come to see us, and maybe they'd like us. I don't know.
I find it that the metal kids don't really consider us metal, but people who don't listen to metal, I think we're a metal band.
But we do get labeled stoner rock a lot, for what that's worth.
Yeah. Well, I had a great time. I hope you did.
Thanks for having us. Thank you all so much for having us.
Down, down, God, kids are dealing with your head.
Cheryl Manor, Jason Ward, and John Case. They're the band Irata. Their new album, Sweet Loris, comes out on October 9th. They're heading out on tour for a few weeks with Kylesa, starting October 6th in St. Petersburg, Florida. You can see them next in North Carolina on October 10th in Asheville with Kylesa, Inter Arma, and Indian Handcrafts. They have lots more dates, including a few more in North Carolina, and you can find out all the tour info at WFDD.org and click on Try It Arts Weekend. Very special thanks to our volunteers, Iggy Livengood and Marley Priest. We couldn't have pulled off this session without you. We have to take one more short break, and when we return, it's dance and music at SICA with Sarah Baird and Meg Mulhern when Try It Arts Weekend continues. This is Try It Arts Weekend. I'm Eddie Garcia. On Saturday, October 3rd, the Southeastern Center for Contemporary Art, SICA, is having the opening reception for Point and Counterpoint. It's a celebration of 18 artists from a variety of disciplines who've all won North Carolina Arts Council Fellowship grants this past year. My guests today are premiering a piece called Godai. It's a collaborative dance and music piece between choreographer Sarah Baird and composer-violinist Meg Mulhern. Asheville-based composer Meg Mulhern is a violinist with lots of projects, ranging from experimental to metal to film composition and all points in between. You can catch her in the bands U.S. Christmas and Judas Horse. She also performs as a solo artist under the name Divine Circles. Sarah has been a professional dancer and choreographer for over 20 years. She's the artistic director of the Asheville-based Anemone Dance Theater. Sarah creates multimedia performances that integrate choreography with light, original music, sculptural costumes, and striking set design. All right, so Sarah, start off giving me a little background of Anemone Dance Theater.
Anemone Dance Theater is a company that I founded in New York City when I lived there for many years. And I established Anemone Dance Theater after I began to work in the Butoh dance form. And I found that Butoh dance was really speaking to me in a lot of ways that contemporary modern dance hadn't been. And so Anemone became a vehicle for me to create new works. And one of the main premises is that it's made for collaborative explorations. So that's been a main premises that we've been following a lot of years now.
All right. So in that spirit of collaboration, you're here with Meg Mulhern, violinist. How's it going, Meg?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. So how did you two get together to work on this project?
Well, Meg and I met prior. She had been working with another musician in Asheville, and we had had the ability to work together a couple of times in sort of a more improvisational format. And I knew that Meg had something that I wanted to bring together with the dance. And so we decided to move forward with a new collaborative piece, bringing her composition and live music and the choreography and performance together.
So Meg, had you worked with dance groups before?
I hadn't really. I had done a little bit of improv with a woman out in Seattle when I was out in the West Coast, and that was really mind-blowing. I had never worked with movement before, just really thinking about the body and how the sound impacted the body was pretty amazing. So I was really excited to work with Sarah.
Meg, could you give listeners an idea of how you create your music? You're taking your violin and manipulating it through effects pedals, and I'd like to know how you get your sound.
Sure. For this piece, I've actually got two loopers going. So when different elements come in, you know, when we're trying to get different effects, when the music changes, I'm actually switching from one looper to another one. And most of it, I would say, you know, 80 to 90% of it is live looping. So, and I do have just a few presets, and then I use effects to change the voice of the violin and to reflect the elements and all the different things that we're trying to portray in the piece.
So Sarah, what changes for you working with a live musician as opposed to having the music already recorded?
I mean, it's a completely different experience. I rarely use recorded music anymore. I just find that having a live musical voice with the piece, it just takes it to a completely different level. It's just very vibrant, very alive, and real.
So in Godai, you're investigating the Greek goddess Hecate. How are you, through movement, exploring these themes and the story of this Greek goddess?
Well, we're using that sort of as a launch point. I mean, we're really taking that and then really thinking about just a broad scope of metamorphic changes or shifts that could happen. The Greek goddess has this triadic nature where she can take on different forms, and they're usually represented through animals. And so we have this sort of, our figure in the dance takes these animal elements and is shifting and changing and gathering the powers of this animal, different animal incarnations throughout the work.
Is it a solo dance piece, or are there other dancers on
this
stage?
This is a solo piece, yes.
Okay, cool. And in some of your photographs I've seen online, lighting and the visual element seems to be a major part.
We worked really hard. You know, at SICA, we were excited to try to maybe pull it into an alternative environment. But when we were there, it just made the most sense to put it actually on the stage where there would be a clean palette and we would have control of the light and the shadow and the color and all of these things, because those elements are very important. I feel like the piece kind of unfolds like a painting, as if you were walking through a gallery and the images are preserved then in that controlled environment of the auditorium.
And that auditorium is a great space visually and aurally. I mean, I think the sound is going to envelop people probably.
And because the two of us are working, you know, in a really collaborative basis, and I'm actually on the stage while we're doing the piece, that sound element needs to be just as important as the visual element. So putting it in the auditorium, I think, is a really great choice.
So this project came to be in part due to some grant assistance.
Yes, I was very fortunate and honored this year to receive the North Carolina Arts Fellowship in Choreography. And that has some funding that comes through the National Endowment for the Arts. It's a competitive platform. They alternate years for different artistic disciplines. And as you said, this year I was lucky enough to receive the award in choreography, which is a wonderful stipend and really allowed me to pursue the collaboration with Meg and begin to make that a reality.
You both have been involved with receiving grants or working with grants before. What does that do for you as an artist, like, you know, in broad strokes?
Well, I mean, in general, just to be totally honest about it, before I received this award, I was really tired. I was tired and poor and couldn't afford. I mean, I just didn't know if I could keep going. So there is something about, you know, receiving the fellowship really gave me a push. It gave me the encouragement. It gave me the support of our state behind me saying, keep going, keep doing what you're doing. You're going in the right direction. It was affirmative, and it allowed me to move forward and develop a piece of work that I'm really proud of.
I think that's really right. I mean, if you have some ideas about something that you'd like to develop and you really feel strongly about it, which I think most artists do, it's hard to develop something fully if you don't have the resources and you don't have the time to allow it to develop. And I think that's what a grant can really help with.
Yeah. It buys you, right. It buys you time too, because you can spend, you can focus. Mm-hmm. It'll allow you a little more time to focus on your art.
Well, exactly. It was really exciting this go round because I felt like, you know, for the last 5 years, I had to be really focused on the product, you know, the deadline and the product. And with this process and project with Meg, you know, we really, it's been a year we've been working on this. And so there's something about letting yourself dive into process, dive into collaboration, dive into conversation between dance and music and 100 other things, you know, that really it takes the art making to a really deep and powerful place.
It's true, because I found this piece to be transformative in my own life, you know, just kind of seeing the echoes of it, because it is a very, I think it's a pretty universal theme. So, I mean, that's all those wonderful things that grants, that a little bit of money can do.
Right. Well, thank you so much for coming in today, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing the performance.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Meg Mulhern and Sarah Baird. Their collaborative piece, Godai, premieres on Saturday, October 3rd at SICA. It's part of Point and Counterpoint, a celebration of 18 North Carolina Arts Council Fellowship Grant recipients. For more on Sarah's dance and Meg's music, visit WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. Triad Arts Weekend's executive producer is David Ford. Our associate producer is Bethany Chafin, and our contributing editor is Kike Rodriguez-Pastor. You'll find podcasts, archived episodes, and links to our guests, events, videos, and more on our website, wfdd.org. Once you're there, click on Triad Arts Weekend. You can follow us on Twitter as well. Our handle is Triad Arts Speak. And be sure to like WFDD on Facebook. Triad Arts Weekend is a production of 88.5 WFDD, public radio for the Piedmont. Today we'll leave you with a little music. This is from Divine Circles, the solo project of violinist Meg Mulhern. The song is called Midwest. I'm Eddie Garcia. Thanks for listening to Triad Arts Weekend. The cornfields and the corn, it is.